Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscles, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. I got two top pros, WNBF, Robin Mays and Kristen Fonseca. Am I saying that right, Fonseca or Fonseca?
Fonseca.
I hate saying names wrong because, with a name like mine, Kalen, it's been pronounced from everything from Kendo Stick to, Kalen. So I want to make sure I say your name right. And these ladies, I just enjoyed to talk to before we even got the show started. I'm enjoying it already. So, Robin, I'll let you go first. You introduce yourself, and then once you're done, pass it over to Kristen, and we'll get this show going.
Okay. My name is Robin Mays. I started competing in 2012. I was actually overweight. I used to be over 200 pounds, lost some weight, decided I wanted to try competing, started off as a bikini competitor. Still a bikini girl at heart. Was told I was too muscular. Moved on to figure. Didn't really find too much excitement in that. Then I did fit body, and then Nancy Andrews convinced me to do bodybuilding. And then I met some great people like Kristen, who were like, yep, you can do bodybuilding. And that's where I've been.
And Kristen?
My name is Kristen Fonseca, and I started competing in 2009 after wanting to for more than 22 years. So I tell people all the time it's never too late to start. I had started lifting when I was in college my first year because I thought I had ruined my laundry because I had gained 35 pounds between September and November. So I went to a gym and I had ballooned out from the cafeteria food in college and started doing a little cardio and started taking some classes and started lifting weights. And I really fell in love with lifting weights. So that was my favorite. And, just started reading anything I could about it and checking out, different magazines and talking to people. And, I was young and it was very difficult for me to put the diet with it correctly. At the same time, I was also going to school at Berklee College of Music and I started working in bands at 19. So that type of lifestyle on the weekends with playing out, staying up really late, drinking, eating after hours, when you're done at like 1 o'clock in the morning, none of that was conducive to the life of being able to be successful bodybuilding as far as getting ready for a show. So I kind of always thought that maybe I'd never get there. And after turning 40, I started really looking at myself and not really liking what I saw with my physique and didn't like the whole middle-aged mommy thing. And my husband and I at that time decided to retire our band. We had been playing out for a long time, pretty much every weekend. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to finally do this. And talked to a few friends at gym that luckily I finally, met some naturals. It was a WNBF pro that helped me out. His name was Joe DeSisto, and he was retired, but he told me all about natural bodybuilding and what I needed to do. And I had some other friends that helped me. They had participated in some local shows, and they made it all sound like it was doable. So in 2009, I finally tried it out for the first time, hoping to just do it once, like something on my bucket list. And, you know, it worked out really well, and I was excited, and I was hooked, and I think I've done 25 shows since then. So I've been doing it ever since, mainly bodybuilding. I crossed over into Fit Body, and I was doing pretty well with that too, but my heart is most definitely in as a bodybuilder. And when we had to choose between which category for any particular show, I chose bodybuilding, and I think I'll definitely stick with that until I'm no longer competitive, and then we'll see. You know, I'll be 49 in September, so, you know, we'll see how many years I have left, but so far, this is my seventh season, so things are going pretty well.
All right. You struck on something that still kind of keeps me puzzled, is because, you know, I really didn't know about the natural bodybuilding until I actually well, I don't want to say backed into it, because you figure Mike Newman, there's no way you can back in anything with that fellow. But without his voice and without his direction, I would have been clueless to this arena as well. I'm still kind of baffled that, you know, it's not more popular and it's not more recognized, because to me, it just seems like the first stage, if nothing else, because, you know, most of the people I know that did the transition did it from competing naturally, but I didn't even know that exists. I mean, I was one of the people that thought NPC, the first thing, was natural. Shows you how much I knew. And
right.
It's just kind of puzzling that we don't have more advertising for it. We don't have more publicizing of it. It's really weird, because basically word of mouth and the competitors doing most of the running.
It's true, and I think, you know, shows like this and things that you're doing are excellent. Things that P4P is doing is great, and to have everything in the social media aspect has really developed it more. If we could have more media coverage, if there could be more examples what natural bodybuilding is in the media, and let people understand the beauty in it instead of the ridiculousness that we see on reality TV.
Yes.
With you know, recently there was something that my husband and I were watching on a reality TV, a plastic surgery show, of a woman who clearly, you know, they said, at least, thank goodness they said, she wasn't natural, and then they talked about her lying about steroid use and all of that. But the situation was this woman straight up wasn't a good bodybuilder anyway. Her structure wasn't good. She looked like a freak, and she wasn't good to begin with. She wouldn't be good in that, you know, people who take things world. She wouldn't have been good, but yet the average everyday general population is looking at this and thinking, this is what bodybuilding is, and this is what a female looks like if they are a bodybuilder. And I know that for a fact. People, there's a huge misconception. People don't understand, and it's something that I think is pretty upsetting. You know, it's a shame that they can't see that we can't have something like, say, any world championships, that can't be on television so people can see it, so people can understand the difference.
I agree, Kristen, because I have had people say to me, you're a bodybuilder, but you look like a woman. And I'm like, well, yeah, we all look like women. Oh, no, not the people we've seen on TV.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you know, and my thing is, I don't like to speak in a negative way about the sport, period, whether it's natural or not. But you have to defend the way you look, because, no, I don't know what they use, and I, you know, don't care to know. But a natural bodybuilder does not look like that. And, you know, like society believes that that's how we're all going to look. We're all going to look like men, and we're all going to have, you know, facial features that resemble men, whereas a natural bodybuilder, I mean, it's just not possible for that to happen. Genetically,
right.
Some of us are more prone to put on more muscle than others, but there's only so much we can do as natural athletes. And that's for men
right.
and women.
Yeah,
right. But Robin, see, but I think what you're saying is that, you know, even though you don't want to speak against someone, you still have to dispel those myths that are out
right.
there, because people are basically not doing things. I mean, even I would even go far enough to say that there's some bodybuilders that are scared to gain so much muscle because they're scared of being put in that same category. It's some of the stuff I've seen on social media, it almost seems like the better that you look, the more you're confused with cheating, even though the body still knows to gain and grow, because some of us do grow harder when we push ourselves, you know, more. And there's some people that can bust their butts and might be, like you said, like Kristen was saying, might have been just going about it the wrong way and not see those results. I mean, we've got
right.
coaches that know the best people that work with them, and they get all that they can and more out of their physiques. And now that the people that don't have the knowledge do have the knowledge, their bodies are going leaps and bounds. I mean, we can talk about Ryan Doris. We can talk about the giant killer out there. There's so many guys that are basically topping their bodies. And then women, you know, you guys included, are just finding whole new arenas of development because you've been going at it so long. Of course your body's going to develop past what people understand.
Right. And genetics, I mean, come into play. I mean, we'll take, for example, Robin and I. Robin has not cheat. I mean, her genetics are just amazing. And she has the potential, too, of extra growth because she hasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, Robin, but you haven't lifted weights for that long, right?
No, I've only started lifting. I started competing in 2012 and lifting heavy, really, 2013.
So think about that and look at what she looks like. And someone like myself, I've had years of lifting. Now, granted, the focus became more intense.
Yes.
In like 2008. So the focus was more intense, and I never skipped workouts, and everything was very structured and planned and organized. But prior to that, I always challenged myself. You know, I didn't lift. You know, I wasn't just lifting, picking up 5 and 10 pound dumbbells. You know, I was lifting. I was challenging myself because I liked how it felt, and I thought it was cool that I could lift the same as a guy. That didn't bother me. I wasn't afraid of getting big because I wasn't a big person to begin with, so I didn't have that fear.
Mm-hmm.
But genetically, I'm a lightweight. I compete between 112 and 115 tops. I've gotten as low as 109 and then eaten up to 112. You're never going to see me any bigger than that, no matter how hard I try. Every winter, I put on between 15 and 20, and I lift as hard and as heavy as I can. I don't do any cardio. But genetically, that's who I am. You know, I'm not,
mm-hmm.
My weight is never going to probably, well, it hasn't. In the last 7 years, my competition weight hasn't increased, and you would hope that it would, because you would hope that you're putting on like a pound of lean mass every year, but that's not the case for me. But I think we finesse what I have, and my diet is good, and my coach, my diet guy, Dave Lyford, is amazing. So he can get the best out of a smaller muscled physique and to have me show the best that I can show with the small amount of muscle that I have on my frame. And, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. And then someone like Robin, I mean, her muscularity is so thick and beautiful. And I think that she even has potential of developing it even more because she didn't have all those years in her 20s and 30s that she lifted.
No, I wish I would have, though.
But do you think, I wonder though, Robin, could you be any better than you are? Probably not.
I don't think I've reached my potential yet.
No, you haven't.
And but because I'm learning more and more, you know, like 1 year it was my legs, the next year it was my back, this year it seems like my shoulders are coming along.
Yeah.
So the pieces to the puzzle
are
not
all starting to come together,
you know,
but they're coming together. And
yeah,
the parts that were outstanding still continue to be outstanding, but you've brought up, like you said, so you came out, your legs were killer, and then the back, and now the shoulders and the biceps now have met to where that is, and your abs are crazy, and
right.
And it's a cool, bodybuilding is a really cool thing when you, and especially when you can see it in other people and see what they've done from each year and how things improve. I mean, I love the sport. I love, like, looking at the different competitors and comparing their pictures to who they were before and stuff like that.
I constantly put up pictures of when I did bikini, and I'm like, wow. I look to me back then, although they said I was too muscular for bikini, I look at the pictures now, and I look like a twig. I'm like, oh my god, I was so skinny. You know, but back then I wanted to be smaller because I was cursed with these legs. That's how I thought of it at the time. Oh god, I'm cursed with these legs. I'm cursed with these broad shoulders. I just want to be a bikini girl. But I mean, it just wasn't in the cards for me to be a bikini girl. So you know, I finally embraced the bodybuilder, and now I feel like, oh, I just want to get bigger. I just want to get bigger.
And it's hard, too, when you first... Sorry?
I was going to say...
Because people, you're getting messages from other people about, oh, you don't want to get too big, right? Oh, you don't want to look this way or that way. And then as a woman, you're nervous. You're like, uh-oh. Do I look too big? You know, and then after a couple seasons, you just get over that. It's like,
oh yeah,
no big deal.
And you're,
I dress differently too. I found that most of the time I wear things that are flowing and oversized because I just don't feel like talking about it. I mean, when I'm in competition mode and I'm with my people that I compete with, that's a different story. But when I'm an elementary school music teacher, you know, I don't need to be showing that. So most of the time, I don't think people even know. It's not something I really discuss at school or anything.
and that is, you know, that is a big thing, is that, you know, we do have a life outside of this, and there's so much that's that needs to be addressed. And we were talking about earlier, is because of the lack of information. I don't want to say the misinformation, because on this side, it's more like it's just not talked about because nobody really understands or asks the question.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, as we're growing, you know, as there's more and more things out there to get that information out there, you know, especially, with women, and I say that with the best intent, because I know we need women to speak out, because there is a body dysmorphia with women that it just doesn't come with the male mind that has to be addressed, because there is a lot of things going on where they say, oh, you can't do this, and it's already starting out negative, so I can't see it getting any better unless we have an over influx of positives and reinforcement to show women that, yes, you know, it is a body dynamic, but it is a beautiful body as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still going to be those women that, you know, I see it in the gym all the time. You get the certain looks, and it's almost like, okay, I'm the freak show. I know. But, you know, you develop thick skin, and then you know, there's going to be people who always feel like, okay, women shouldn't have muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, that's just their opinion, really. I felt know, like, intimidated to go to a gym and take my, you know, gym like Planet Fitness. I'll just call a gym out there. And take my jacket off.
I wouldn't call it a gym.
I would get, like, stared at, like, oh. You know, and now it's just like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, they're muscles. Yeah.
I had, when I was training for my first show, I was working out at a Planet Fitness, and I actually got a part-time job working at the Planet Fitness, and it was the worst place for me to be. It was a situation where the negativity, and, you know, they call themselves the judgment-free zone and all of that, but it's such nonsense because the negativity about bodybuilding is so ridiculous, and when I worked there training, and I was working out there, and they actually told me that they didn't want me to wear shorts. They said, we don't want you wearing shorts. We would prefer you wearing pants. And I was like, why? and because you shouldn't be showing your legs. And I was like, oh my goodness, like my legs just walking around. I mean, when I pose them on the stage, and you know how we learn how to pose the right way, and I'm fortunate that genetically I have good muscle separation, so you can see different things. But me walking around the gym, I mean, they just look like legs that were in shape. But you weren't even supposed to look like you were in shape.
No,
I mean,
no.
that's pretty bad. So finally, I left that gym. My husband actually still goes there. I left that gym, and I joined it just to be in a different environment, because that's, too, where I was getting the message from a lot of women in the general population that were just coming up to me, and they knew that I was working towards a show, and then they saw that the leaner I got, you know what happens. The leaner you get, the more muscular you look. And suddenly people are thinking, you're working out and you're, you know, a few weeks out and you have a good pump on. You look really good. And they think that you're huge, like that you've gotten too big. First they think when you first come in that you're dying.
Oh, yeah.
Then you get a pump, and they think that you're too big, and like, you know, you don't want to get any bigger than this, right? I mean, this was the kind of information that I was getting from different people, and it was just terrible. So I had to get myself out of that environment, and where I'm at now is a powerhouse, and I train at very early in the morning. I'm there before 6 o'clock, and the people that are there, they're down to business. I mean, they're people that are, they're doing their own thing before they go to work, so there isn't any of that nonsense going on, and that's pretty cool. But I think that what happens to people that are trying to compete, especially women, is they get into this psychological trap, and then they don't have any longevity because they don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, women are challenged with image even before they have to think about weight. And, you know, just the fact that it's so many, it's almost overwhelming sometimes when you see the growth and people see it as a negative, like there's something wrong with you. And I said, you figure you're getting closer and closer to good health, and people say that that's not right. I said, the whole mindset is enough to send you to the twilight zone, because you're saying, I'm doing everything, I feel better, I'm doing things better. My mind's, you know, increased. My discipline's better. Everything seems to be improving, and everybody's telling me I'm doing something wrong. I always liken it to the Jurassic Park, where the guy says, "I brought all these people in to make it sound like this is going to be a great park, and the only one that says so is the lawyer, which I hate." And that's kind of funny to me, because the people you think would be going against you are basically with their mouths open, because they see the change all the way through. And then people like family, friends, and other people close to you are saying, you know, oh, what's wrong with you? And you're like, nothing.
Right.
And it's funny you say that, because I always say the same people that will say, what's wrong with you? I'm like, where were you people when I was over 200 pounds? I was pre-diabetic. Yeah. I had high blood pressure. My sugar levels were off the chart. I had back problems. Where were you people saying, what's wrong with you then?
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Because
that,
that's like,
not it. Why is it that, Robin, why is it that people think that, like, it's okay to be this way because you're fit, yet when you weren't fit, no one would ever dream of saying, like,
no.
Hey, you know what? You need to check yourself and get yourself
exactly.
in order. No
I'm
one was saying it then.
I'm like, where were all you people then when I was basically, I mean, at that point, so unhealthy, that's when somebody should have been saying something. But
right.
Because
yes.
in this society, though, you have to look at it. It's even with children, it's almost
right.
normal for people to be overweight and unhealthy. And it's not just overweight, because
well,
I know some people that are, you know, heavy and healthier than some people that are small.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost the norm. You don't even get second looks. I look at the kids that go to school now. When I went to high school, there were no cheerleaders that wore bigger than a size 12. Size
right.
12 was considered a huge size. Now that's
mm-hmm.
normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
so, which is one
well,
of the
somebody
things
in the background agreeing with you.
Sorry, those are my pugs. I tried
okay.
to find a quiet spot, but.
There's no quiet spot with pugs.
But,
no,
yeah,
I we have a definite battle on our hands because it has gotten to the point where, you know, it's almost we've pacified to the point of ignorance where, you know, we quit talking about the things that should be talked about and we quit saying it to the people that needed to hear it. And because of that, you know, we basically got shuffled into a corner, I guess, almost where they almost hoped we would never be heard from again.
Yeah,
because we have a great disconnect as far as health and fitness in this nation as a whole, not just, you know, because there's always going to be groups, there's always going to be, you know, the secular groupings where, you know, they might get it, but we need more to actually understand. And like I said, as long as we're seen as the odd man out, I think there's something wrong with that just from where it go.
It's true. And not only that, but how about even within the health industry and competitors and other people that are doing like CrossFit and things in these ridiculous diets that people are on, like the nutrition that is so anti, it's just, it's the opposite of what would help you build muscle. You know, people are in these catabolic states. There was a woman in my gym just this week, and she was trying to talk this other lady into this, I don't even know what it was, what name, but it was some new program, and it was one of those so-called cleanses, and she was on a 500-calorie-a-day diet, like, for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Yes. Right? I'm like,
you know?
What? I'm like, that's like my breakfast before I go lift. Like,
yeah.
what
yes.
do you mean?
And that's
and
a light one.
And she said, well, I've lost 25 pounds. And I looked at this poor lady. She's like about, I don't know, close to maybe a little bit older than me, maybe like 51 or so. And she looked terrible. And I could tell she's catabolic. And you know that she's going to end up with, you know, just some like loose tissue and fat and stuff. And whatever lean mass that she had on her body from working out before is going to be eaten.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. They want to see a less number on the scale, and it happens to competitors too. And I mean,
yes.
let's not even get into the whole ridiculousness of people doing like these things to get ready for a show. I mean, people are still doing some crazy old school shit that they should just never be doing.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, nutrition
that.
Is like it's just, you know, it and you can tell. I mean, Robin, we know the day of Worlds last year, There was some poor girls that hadn't had water in like a couple of days. They're sucking on ice chips. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, this is why my coach told me this. And I'm like, what? And I always tell people, one of the things is, I mean, I've worked with some really good coaches, but I always say, you know your body better than anyone else. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel right, then it's not right. I don't care who the coach is. My attitude is, if I argue with my physician, who's been my doctor for, I don't know, 15 years, if I will argue with him, and this man has all medical degrees, you bet your butt that I'm going to argue with a coach. And I don't care.
Especially if it sounds weird.
Right. If it
sounds like something strange.
Yeah. But these people don't, you know, someone says, oh, I can give you a diet, and that's all they hear is, I can get you this.
Yes.
I can get you to that size you want to be, and they'll do it at all costs. I've seen people who go from size 14 down to a size 0 because the number meant more to them than what they saw in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
like I said, with women, the small fear is it's really something, because you know they get to that stage weight and they want to keep it year round, and the thought of getting away from that frightens some women so much. You know, I said sometimes I would almost recommend them not getting into that kind of fitness because it's too.
That happened to me my first season, and Nancy Andrews really helped me with that. I had done 3 shows when I met Nancy, and she kind of took me under her wing. She saw me a couple of months later at I don't know what it was, at a show or something. Yes, it was at a different show, and she said, "Wow, Kristen, you're looking really lean." And I said, "Yeah, like I was proud of that." I said, "Yeah, I don't want to get that. I don't want to be my old self. I don't want to gain. I don't want to." And she's like, "Oh no." She's like, "Let me help you." She's like, "First of all, you need to eat." I hadn't started going to Dave Lyford yet. She said, "You need to find somebody that's a nutritionist. You need to eat some food. You need to gain some weight because you have potential to be really good, but you'll never last." And I was only maybe like 6 pounds away from my competition weight. And I had kept that like for a few months. And now, you know, like I said, I'm usually my off season weight is 15 to 20 above my competition weight. And that's healthy for me. And I mean, at 20 pounds over my competition weight, I'm still walking around because I'm a short person at under 130 anyway. So I look normal. You know, I look like whatever would be like for someone my height and my bone structure. But I don't necessarily look like a bodybuilder with clothes on at all, and everything kind of looks like it has frosting on it.
It's the winter flower.
Kind of looks like someone took out some frosting and like put it on over it, and you know what? It all comes off, you know. But you gotta do that because you have to balance out your life, and you have to live, and you have to be healthy, and I love food. I mean, I love good food.
Ooh,
and I could never, I would be doing this, right? So I love it even more than I did before because I know that when I go into prep, that door is shut and I eat what I'm supposed to eat and I follow it to a T and it works. But when I come out of prep, I still, you know, eat healthy. But when I want to indulge in something delicious, of course I have that. I mean, have to. You got to live.
Mm-hmm.
Robin and I have had some good meals together.
Yeah. Last year after Worlds, I went on a cruise the very next day.
Yep.
And, you bet, I ate.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was
you
like,
got
yeah.
to.
Yeah. I mean, I still ate healthy. But when I wanted that chocolate cake, Oh yeah, of course. I got that chocolate cake.
And you kind of appreciate it maybe more than you ever did.
You really do. You really do.
Yeah.
Because it's something that when you don't have it, you think about it, you know.
Yeah.
And like I make these little lists, and I even have it on like Pinterest. Like I have like a whole food porn page.
I love that.
And I look at it. And I cook things too. I cook things at home for my husband and my son that I would want to eat that I don't eat. But the aroma of it and preparing it is something that's satisfying for me. So I do that a lot. I bake a lot when I'm in prep. I cook a lot of really rich things when I'm in prep because it kind of satisfies that. I'm smelling it. I'm looking at it, you know. And I know that when I want to have it, I can have it.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I couldn't stay near stage weight if I wanted to. I just I like food too much.
Right.
I like to stay. This year I stayed within the 15-20 pounds. Last year I was like 20-25. That was a bit much. But this year I stayed between 15 and 20 pounds. I go up to 20, drop back down to 15, but and I think that's what's helped me be leaner this year, too. And also, what I did, I don't know how much I weighed Saturday, because I haven't been weighing.
Yeah,
myself.
You did. And that was that new for you this year, that you didn't keep getting up? And did you like it?
I actually do. It makes it, I mean, because you definitely know how much you weigh, you know, that you're losing by the way your clothes fit.
Yes.
When your clothes start falling off you, you know, okay, I've lost a lot of weight. But because we look at ourselves every day and we're so critical.
Yes, hypercritical.
You become obsessive with that scale. And my thing was I could wake up, feel lean, look in the mirror, look lean, feel real good, get on that scale, and if that scale went up, oh, I was off the rest of the day. It threw me completely off. And I'm like, why do I keep doing this to myself? I felt really good 5 seconds ago. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to go by the scale. And I couldn't tell you what I weighed Saturday. I got on stage. I don't know how much I weighed. I have an estimate,
cool.
You know, I can guess. But I said, no, I know. I'll go by a look. And it does.
And you didn't have to make a weight class, so you weren't worried about that.
Right. So, I mean, I'm always going to be a heavyweight. I mean, I think even with them, if I would have did bodybuilding, it would have been like anything over 125 was heavyweight. So I'm always going to be heavy. So I never really worry about making weight. But this time I said no. Whereas last year, I obsessed. And for some reason, the more I thought about it, the more I got on the scale, the weight just hung on. It was clinging for dear life, and it just it drove me crazy. So I said, you know, I'm not going to do that to myself. I love this sport, and I always say when it's not fun, then I'm out. And
me
it was starting to become not fun, and it was because I made it that way. It had nothing to do with the sport itself. It was because I was making it that way, and I said, you know what, just stop it. It's a hobby.
Right?
It's a very expensive hobby, right? But it's a hobby that you enjoy doing, so why torture yourself? If you win, you win. If you don't win, you know, you still get up and go to work the next day.
Exactly. And no one knows if what you did, they don't understand. You know, you go back to your life on Monday, and nobody knows and nobody cares.
It doesn't
And someone will say,
do?
Oh, how do you do? And then
exactly.
You tell them, oh, good, I got second. Oh, well, you know, you'll get first next time.
Yeah, or some of them even, Kristen, there's been people like, oh, yeah, I won. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, can you do this for me? You know, it was like, they really don't care. I mean, if they're not in our little circle, so to speak, they don't really care because they don't get it. So
no,
you know, I took the.
So, you have to put it in. It needs to be in a balanced point in your life, and
right.
I think you know. I recently said it took me about 2 years to finally figure out what that was. You know, what was the best balance? How do I fit this in? How do I fit this into my already busy life? It isn't
right.
my life. It's a piece of me, and it's a piece of me that's just for me that I love. So when I stop loving it, I won't do it anymore. I won't kill it and keep doing it. You know, I will get out, and I'm sure I'll always be involved in some way, but I'll stop the actual competitions. But I mean, I think that Robin and I are the same, where we don't get too freaked out about stuff. We don't, it's not the be all and end all. If something cool happens, that's great. And then if something doesn't work out like we had hoped, well, then there's going to be another one, and no big deal. But I look at the pictures and I say to myself, you know, did I make an improvement over last year? And if I can find the littlest thing, like if I can find like my problem issues or my hams for sure, and gluten ham area, if I can find that, you know, something looks a little more developed there when you flip me around, awesome. Then I made an improvement, and that's what bodybuilding is all about. And then the competing part is just for fun. The competing
exactly.
part has to be fun, or why do it? It can't be, you know, we see people that get themselves so absorbed in it that it becomes the only thing going on in their lives, and that's really sad.
It really
takes
is.
Over.
And, you know, I would liken it, when I talk about other sports that I've played, you know, I've played basically the gamut of all of them, you know, and I said, I can't imagine if me spending a whole game because I missed one shot or missed
yep.
one pass or clipped one hurdle, and that decides the whole race. Because, you know, we have seasons. We have a bodybuilding season. And there's always another show, and then it's always next year if we do it in a healthy fashion. And I can't see destroying myself because I missed it. Because, you know, I like how you were talking about with the scale. Even that little thing like that changes everything about how you go into a season. Because
mm-hmm.
if something is distracting you from your joy, then it's no longer a joy.
Right.
Exactly.
Then why bother?
Right.
Exactly. Yes. And I said, well, what's fun about unfun? Where
right.
you're so destructive about, you know, how you're going about what you're doing, you're basically, and you know, being teachers, if you look around at the people that are affected by your choice and your thinking, that would frighten me even more to make decisions like that, where I'm going to sit there and say, oh, I suck so bad, my life is terrible. And then if it would happen, did somebody die? No, I got second place. What?
Well, those are the same people, too, that have a hard time with their food. You know, I don't begrudge my prep food. I actually really enjoy it. I've learned to switch things up a little bit to make it be more to my liking. When I'm in prep, I'm usually never hungry because I have a lot of food that I eat. But, you know, some people make the biggest, hugest deal out of their diet and the hugest deal out of prepping it, where, like, if you take the time and you cook it in bulk, you know, on Sunday afternoon or whatever, and you take
hours.
Like an hour or two out of your life,
two hours,
and you put it all in disposable containers. And, you know, basically I kind of eat the same thing. I really don't care. It tastes good. It tastes good to me. I heat it up. I maybe don't heat it up, whatever. It falls on the floor. I pick it up and eat it. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I believe it.
And
it ain't going to waste.
And right.
Me and the dog is crapping.
I made that out. I'm eating that. But it's like you just do it. And you know that you're doing it for a reason. I still go out with my husband. You know, I won't, during that time, I won't eat what stinks is when you can't, when your prep food is better than the strip meal at a restaurant. So maybe you don't go to our favorite restaurants anymore. But like we'll go out and we'll walk around and we'll hold hands and we'll be in the same places that we go to. And if he wants to get that awesome cupcake that we go at our favorite Cupcake Charlie's place, he gets the cupcake. And like I sit there and I have coffee and it's all good. And he's happy and I'm happy and life is great. And I'm just not having a cupcake today. But that doesn't mean that 3 months from now I'm not going to eat that cupcake, because I am.
Right.
So I'm not crying in the corner, or I'm not yelling at my husband because I didn't have it.
I have chips,
that's valid.
There's ice cream, there's candy bars, all that's in my house right now.
Yeah, and you're not eating it.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, this is what I do. This is not what he does. I mean, he's like, well, you know, like Mother's Day, we didn't go out to eat because I'm like, honey, I can't eat. So why bother? I'm not going to pay money to go eat a salad. So
yeah,
the
strip meal, when you go and you can only get pretty much lettuce because you can't trust, you know, what they're going to do.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That's
yes.
A little tricky when you're near the end, but it's only when you're near the end.
So then you just like, oh, I'll just eat at home. But, I mean, it's a commitment I've made. And, I mean, both Kristen and I both have some of the most supportive husbands. They're always backstage.
Right. We're lucky.
Yeah, we're very lucky because I've seen it. I've seen people stop competing because their significant other just wasn't supportive or just didn't understand. Because
they
can take a big
part
of your life.
They don't understand, or they're so intense. Like we both have spouses that are like, they appreciate what we're doing, but they're not doing it. So they're like mellow, and they're like there, you know, because they're happy for us and stuff. But, like, you know, it's
my
not something that they would ever want to do.
Yeah, he'll be like, I'll drop you off at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That's nice, too.
Call me when you're ready.
If you ladies don't mind, I'd like for you to speak on that, because that is an issue in the competitive world. But, you know, you get that from basketball. You get that from any sport where something is separate. And some, well, I don't want to say weak-minded men, but some people, some men that aren't really set with themselves, you know, will question, you know, will she, I mean, because I get to hear the locker room banter, so, you know, it's basically, will she leave me if she finds success?
Right.
So,
and that's,
you know, as women, go ahead.
That's right on, because if a guy is, if the male is insecure, that is where the issue lies, because I think, you know, they're going to feel like something's going to go wrong because they're already thinking that in their head, where, like, our husbands are kind of like, you know, they pretty much know they're stuck with us.
Yeah.
So they don't.
They
know
that
till
death do us part.
Yeah. And where, you know, it's funny because my prior to this, when my husband and I, we worked together. So as musicians, I mean, we had that passion that we shared together. And we played in bands together. We worked together. And then all of that pretty much stopped. And then I picked this up, but he didn't jump on this bandwagon because it just wasn't his thing. So he appreciates my dedication and stuff. And he supports me, but this isn't something that he's involved in. He'll just go and check it out, and he'll listen to me talk about it or whatever. But I think it's because I don't make it be the entire focus of my entire life. I don't think it affects our family. I think when it starts affecting your family, like, you can't, you take yourself away from certain things in life, then of course it's going to cause problems, but it doesn't have to work that way.
Right.
I train early in the morning so that I can come home from work. We're fortunate that we get out early. I get out, I'm home by 4. Arnie's already been home because he works at a golf course. So I could either go to the gym then if I wanted to, and he'd be fine with that. But, like, why do that? So I go early so that we're home together and we hang out. And how cool is that? You know, like, my thing is done, and so I can just relax and have a different part of my life. And I think that you kind of need to, it takes a little bit of organization. It takes a little bit of give and take. You know, you have to plan things out so
balance.
That you can make it all work.
Balance. It's balance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead, Robin.
It's like this weekend, and it's funny because my husband loves for me to compete. He says, because he knows I love it, and he says,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes I ask him, I'm like, you know, I know this is kind of, you know, it takes a lot of my time or whatever, and he's like, no. He goes, I see how much you enjoy it. He goes, you love it, therefore I love it, because it makes you happy. And Saturday, I'm standing there right before I go on stage, and I'm pumping up, and I'm looking at some of these women. Kristen, they were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time since I've started competing, I was literally intimidated. And
mm-hmm.
he seen the look in my face, and he looked me dead in my face, and he says, no. And I was like, what? He's like, no, you belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And those words, I went on stage and I killed it because
that's
I was like,
awesome.
Because I told him afterwards, I said, you seen it? He goes, yeah. He goes, and I've never seen, he goes, you've never. I mean, I've competed with people who've competed for years,
mm-hmm.
and I've never felt that way. But I think it was the whole, you know, thing that I knew what I was going up against as far as being
right.
a natural competitor.
Right.
And I think I just got like, oh, my God. And it was a new federation. And, you know, I almost thought, well, what are they looking for? Because, you know, I mean, I've seen some figure girls that could come to
right.
the WNBF and be fit body. And maybe even bodybuilders. So I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked me dead in my face. And he said to me, he goes, no. He goes, no. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you belong. And
yep.
I went out there and, you know, I did my thing and I was like, wow. I says, you know, I really appreciate that. He got it, so to speak. Because I see a lot
mm-hmm.
of couples that just, you know, I've had friends who no longer compete because their significant other just said, no, that takes too much of your time. Or some of it maybe even was jealousy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're very fortunate. I see that.
Yeah. And I think that's why, like, we're still around, you know. There's longevity if you have a support system. If you don't have the support system, how are you going to do this? You know, you can't really, if you were doing it alone and you didn't have anyone to support you, but no one was fighting you, maybe, if you were really strong-willed. But
right.
if you're in an unfortunate situation where there's situations going on with people around you that, like, they don't want you to do this for whatever reason, and you're trying to put all those pieces together, it's going to nearly be impossible to be successful.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you do
yeah.
it? And I think it happens
I like to say, you know, if one person can do one show, if they really understood how much it takes to do a whole prep and a whole, just the one competition, you know, they should be applauded. But for the people that can consistently do it, they've got a great support system. And
right.
if we could, for you ladies to both give shout-outs to the people that support you right now, because I would be remiss in not letting that happen.
Sure. I mean, my situation is I you know, my husband has always been amazing as far as like just appreciating the sport, but my son is my biggest number one fan and he's my workout partner. And he has been for the last 4 years and I'm sad, but I'm happy for him because he's going away to school. He's going to college. He's going to Mass Maritime next season, so in September, and it's going to be great for him, but I'll lose my workout partner, but that's okay. but it's been a very cool thing for our relationship, and I just there's an article coming out in Ben Yosef's magazine talking about that, and the fact that, like, you can work it into your family life, and And it can be a positive. It's been a wonderful thing for our relationship. It was something that it really taught him respect and discipline and planning and the importance of being natural, because many of his teenage friends, they wanted to know. They're like, wow, you know, what's your mom doing? Because can I, where does she get it? That was the thing that was the question that
yeah,
we were
okay,
asking
yeah, yeah.
him. What's your mom on? Where does she get that? Cause they, and he's like, what are you talking about? You know? And so he knows that, first of all, he knows how to work out safely. He's a really like long, lean, he's built like my husband. But when he lifts, he sees results quickly because he doesn't have any body fat. He'll never be big, but he's in good shape. He knows how it feels to train. He knows how to train. I think he'll always work out in the gym, and I know he would never do anything that he would never take any PEDs because he knows that there's no reason to.
That's right.
And I think that's cool. And he's told his different friends straight up, you know, like, why would you, you don't need that. He's like, I've seen it. You know, he's always at the shows backstage and he sees the most beautiful male physiques and he knows what's up with that. And yeah, it's just been a great thing. And I know Robin, your son, he works out too, right?
Oh yeah. I've been trying to get him.
He's
to
older
compete,
than Shane though, but he's been yeah. like, he's always at your shows and everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And we work out once in a while together. We go to the gym a lot together, but don't necessarily work out together. My husband has been so supportive. He's grocery shopper. He doesn't food prep though. Okay, I still haven't gotten him.
No, mine doesn't either. But that's okay because I wouldn't want anyone weighing
he'll buy
out my
it.
Food.
Yeah, he'll buy it, but he won't cook it.
I need to weigh out my own food.
Oh yeah. But he keeps me going, you know, the days there's some days you just don't want to do it. I'm like, I want to sleep. And he's like, no, come on.
Yep.
So, and my son, it's the same way. It's funny because he gets a lot of his friends, they'll be like, oh, I seen your mom in the gym. She's a beast. He's like, I don't know how I feel about them calling my mother a beast. You know, and now his friends will tease me like, your mom probably lifts more than you do. And he's like, yeah, sometimes. but he'll push me, you know, to his thing with pushing me is to push me to lift heavier. Because mm-hmm. like I said, I haven't been lifting that long. So I was nervous for a long time of getting hurt because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not like I'm some spring chicken. So I was like, oh God, if I get hurt, then I'll be out of commission for, you know, months at a time. And his thing was, no, you gotta lift heavier. And he does the whole eating healthy thing too. I mean, he's still young, so he still does his thing, but he pretty much, he knows how to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, we're definitely a big influence on our children, no matter how old they get. And I know for a fact, both our sons are extremely proud of us.
We're lucky in that. It could be other way, you know. I mean, we're so lucky that our boys think it's cool because, I mean, let's face it, they could be horrified.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They could be like, oh, my God, my mother, she's lifting weights.
In a bathing suit, crying out loud.
Oh, I remember my first show. It was bikini, and my bikini came in the mail in an envelope, a little FedEx envelope. And my son's like, and you're wearing that where? And he's like, oh, no. Dad, did you see what her bathing suit looks like? And my husband's like, yeah. And you don't have a problem with that? And I was like, he goes, oh, my God, my friends are going to see this. Yeah. But then, you know, once he came to the shows and he started to see it and he appreciated it and he's like, now he's, you know, he's all into it. Even like some of my husband's friends were like, "Oh, you don't mind that your wife gets on stage dressed like that?"
Right.
And I say to them,
"Really?"
I said, "You know what? If anyone should mind, it should be me. He's the one that gets to sit and on the backstage and watch 200 bikini girls."
Right. And
you
that's why my son is back there, too, because he's available for bikini bite. Anyone who's going to do, he's there.
I'm like, no, I said, you don't even look at the human body like that.
Right.
No. But I think that's needed. Like I said, there's so many things that we do on a normal basis because we look at people on a much more balanced plane. Because we understand the work that's behind it. We understand the effort, the sacrifice, the dedication. And there's a respect that comes with that. And if you're on the outside looking in, those things are not present in that mind.
Right.
So, we're basically waking people up just by bringing people in. You know, because sooner or later, the ones that are hell-bent on destroying themselves will be taking themselves out. You know, they don't need our help. And the ones that are basically in it to win it, and that's all they're in it for, will burn out because they're basically not getting the results because they're not willing to put in the work. It's the ones
and
that
know,
really stand the test of time. Go ahead.
Right, and we know people that already have. You know, when you surround yourself with drama and negativity, and you can have the greatest physique in the world, but you're not going to last if you have all that badness all around you. You're going to burn yourself out. And then on the opposite end, when we saw just people getting into health and getting involved, I just was at a competition that Robin and I both judged at, and to see, I think that were there 75 of those women, Robin?
Yeah.
Of the body challenge. So there's a body challenge contest that is done, and this is general population women, and they do, I think, probably like a 12-week or 16-week challenge where they're with a bikini coach, Bonnie Lefrakett. She does a boot camp, but she has a kettlebell gym, and she's doing all these things with these women and prepping them, and they do a bikini, just a body transformation challenge. Well, these women that day are so beautiful, and they cross over into other categories, and they are in better condition. Their conditioning is excellent than some other competitors that are competing, and they're going to continue on. And to me, like, that's the greatest thing, because here we have women that are all walks of life getting healthy. And
yes, right.
And they're changing their minds, they're changing their physiques, and they're real people. And
right.
They're some people have lost 100 pounds
or more.
And maybe skin wise or different things, maybe they'll never reach pro level status. But who cares? You know, they've done something amazing. They've brought their best self to the stage. They look incredible. They feel awesome. They're happy. They're positive. And they'll do it again. Those same people have signed up again for a show coming up next week on June 6th. That there's several women now that they competed in the Body Transformation Challenge, and now they're going to compete in, like, bikini, figure, or even sit body open class. And how cool is that?
Yeah, and they'll take what they've learned and go further with it.
Yep.
And that's basically how it all works. It's amazing. For me, the most amazing part of this whole journey, and I call it a journey because that's what it's been. Oh yeah, I have notebooks, and I must have about 10 of them now, from the time I started. And this is before I even competed. From the time I decided that day in the doctor's office was, I'm not taking all this medicine.
That you were going to make a change.
Yeah. And I document it. And it's funny, and since I've been competing, I still have that. So I can always look back and see what I did that worked, what didn't work. I mean, it's everything in there, how I felt that day, what I ate, the workouts I did. And I look back, and that's, you know, I can see, okay, well, this is what worked this time, and this is what didn't work. Even this, like this last week, there's certain things that I did that I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to change that for, and because in 11 days I'm competing again.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn about
your
body.
Do you dial yourself in, Robin? Are you doing it pretty much now on your own?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm going by, like I've said, I've worked with some great coaches who have given me a wealth of knowledge, and I'm taking that with what I know what my body's capable of, and just taking it a bit, you know, a step further, just to see. My most proud moment Saturday was not the trophies I won. It was did this. You know, all on my own. I mean, of course, I had the support of my husband and family and friends and stuff. But it's no better feeling than that. It was like to watch what your body can do. And, you know, we take pictures of ourselves and stuff. And people think it's being, you know, all into yourself. It's not that. It's
not
because we look at ourselves every day. We don't see the subtle changes until you look back months later and you're like, wow, that's a huge difference. How come I didn't see it then?
Right. You play head games with you. You know, you're trying to look at progress and you take the picture and you're trying to see it because you want to see if there's, and for me, it's very difficult when I'm in it to see it. And then I go back and I look at stuff and I can see it in a totally different way.
And you're like, wow, how come I didn't see that?
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's like, yeah, but you know, it's not about, you know, being stuck on yourself. So people think, because I'm sure people in the gym, one of the gyms I go to, it's a little small gym. And I've seen people like look like really weird, like why is she flexing?
It is what it is.
I've gotten so past that now. I'm like whatever. I mean, it was cool tonight when I went to the gym. There was a couple, and the girl looked at there's a poster, and I'm on the poster, and she looked at the poster, and she looked over at me, and then I seen her whisper
to
him. And then I just kind of chuckled to myself because they didn't come over and say anything, but I thought that was funny. I'm like, why didn't she just come over and say, is that you? But instead they just whispered and kept staring. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Well, that day will change.
Yeah.
That day will change. Well, ladies, thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed this. This has been awesome. I mean, it's been great. I learned so much just listening, and I really enjoy you guys opening up and just being, you know, real talk, not BS and not cliches, and basically just being yourself. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, I truly enjoyed it. I'm sure the listeners will be archiving this one for a while because you guys really came out the box, especially for the women that are just getting into it. And, you know, just, you know, for the next generation of children that are coming up, they need to have this addressed as well and how they approach women and see women and not just objects. And I think this sport really helps that happen.
Definitely.
Well, if
anyone... So anything... You know, go ahead.
If any of the listeners have any questions that they want answered, they can always hit me up on Facebook.
Yep, me too.
And I'm sure Kristen wouldn't mind. Definitely have to give a shout out to my girl Kristen because she definitely took me under her wing. And you did.
I saw that body and I'm like, listen, you have to be a bodybuilder. Like you have to do this. And then there was a show that she did both, and I mean she looked awesome in both, but like from the back, I mean, good Lord. Like, she poses and she takes it. She looks great in fit body. She was a world body fit body champion. I mean, come on. She looks fantastic and fit body, but she took those shoes off and her glutes and hands and that back, and I'm like, how could you not be a bodybuilder? So she is, and then she beat me. And I was in good company because I would have picked her too. So if that's cool.
Yeah, that's all right. Robin, that's the beauty of natural bodybuilding.
It sure is. Robin and I won our weight classes last year, and it was, we had an awesome pose down, and it was so much fun.
Oh, that was so much fun.
And Robin took the championship title, and it was excellent, and it was a really cool thing. And I mean, God, the genetics are just incredible, and you know, we're really good friends, and that's what it's about too. I mean, we try to build the best of what we have. We bring whatever we can bring that day, and then it's up to the judges to decide, and that's what it's all about. That's what competing is all about, and it's pretty cut and dry.
Should be.
You know, mm-hmm. people, it should be, and most of the time it is. And you know what? There's a lot of drama, and people try to put more on it because they're trying to justify a placement. But when it's all said and done, and especially now that I've sat on that panel, and I think Robin can say the same. We know now. I mean, things have come full circle because now we've judged.
Yeah.
And so we get
tough.
It. I mean, I'm there doing the best I can. My eyeballs are falling out. I'm wigged out because I don't want to get it wrong, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so important to me for someone to get it right when I'm standing up there. So
exactly.
When I'm sitting at the panel and I'm judging, I really, really care. I want to do
the
right way.
I tell you what, we'll have you guys back on, and we'll talk about the judging side. And
okay.
We'll make that a show, because I'd really like to get into that, because we do have a lot of complainers out there, and they're missing the point of why we're even doing what we're doing. But with that, ladies, thank you. We got to sign off before we get shut off. And thanks so much. And I really enjoyed it. So for Robin Mays, Kristen Fonseca, there we go. I'm going to get it right. This is Kaitlyn Patterson, P for P Real Talk. I'm glad we just got in your ears, and hopefully we gave you some knowledge. Don't miss the Natty Legends. That's going to be our next episode. It's going to be a big one. Stay tuned. Ladies, thank you. This is Kaitlyn Patterson signing off, and we are out. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.